You guys, this side really does. This is the wild group over here. That's why I just know the wild group. So we need to, like, take you guys, just kind of sprinkle you throughout the church here. So that's what we'll do. So, well, guys, I am excited to be here with you. It's New Year. Is anybody excited for 2020? Yeah? That was a pretty weak, yeah. That was kind of like I don't really know. So, okay, so you guys are excited for the new season. We're going to put the first slide up here, which is the title slide. So this series, this is going to be a 6, maybe an 8-part series. We've never done that, or at least I've never done that. So 6 to 8-part series, and it's entitled Perception, Guys, versus Reality. And today we're going to specifically be focusing on God's Word. And it said God's Word, the world, and reality. Really, we're just focusing on God's Word today. When I entitled this, I thought I was going to put more, but there's a lot to be processed here. And we're going to be teaching from 2 Timothy chapter 3, 14 through 17. So that's going to be our main teaching verse if you want to pull out your phones or get your Bible ready for that. But before we do that, I'm going to go to the next slide here. You guys remember this little picture? How many remember this from a couple weeks back? How many of you actually got it? Okay, don't ruin it for anybody else who's new here, okay? So what I want you to do, you guys all got one of these pieces of papers. Everybody have a piece of paper, first of all, one of these handouts that I gave you? Raise your hand if you don't have a handout. Addie needs one, okay. Anybody else need a handout? Okay, so what I want you to do, because everybody's hands apparently didn't work very well last time, so I want you to fold your paper in half, and I want you to block the very center part of that cube. And stop. Before you do, how many of you guys think this is 2 different colors? Raise your hand. Okay. You guys think it's 2 different colors? Now go ahead and take your paper, put it up right in the very middle, block that very center. What do you see? They're the same color, right? No? Okay, I'm going to prove this to you. Look. Go to the next slide here. Look, they're the same color. Ha ha. So these really are the same color. I know you guys don't believe me. This did not go as well as I thought it was. I'm never using this sermon illustration again. The perception, guys, being we see these two as different colors, but the reality is they're actually the same color. They really are. I don't know what's wrong with like this half of the room, but they really are the same color. Okay, so I figured that was going to go badly, so I planned on another one. So we're going to go to the next slide here. So I was like, that's not going to work again. So what we're going to do, I want you guys to take your paper here, okay? Roll it up like a tube. Roll it up. Nice, tight tube. Okay? I want you to keep both of your eyes open, okay? Keep both eyes open, right? And then I want you to do exactly what this lady's doing. I want you to take the tube, put it up to your eye, and then take your hand and keep your hand right against the tube. Bring it all the way, like touching the tube like she's doing, okay? And I want you to keep your hand about, 2 to 3 inches out from your eye, okay? So I'm going to demonstrate this here, okay? Anybody see it? No? Okay, if it doesn't work, switch to your other eye. If it doesn't work, switch to your other eye. You're just looking straight through the tube. Keep both eyes open. You'll see a hole in your hand. Kenny, this may not work for you. So, anybody else? Anybody see the hole in their hand? It's pretty cool, right? All right. So why in the heck am I wasting your time doing stupid, dumb party tricks? Well, because today, guys, we're talking about perception versus reality. So we all know there's not a hole in our hand, but when we put this tube up and we do this dumb little trick, our brains start to go, wow, I can see this hole through my hand. It's amazing, right? I did this with my kids and they were like their minds were blown. It was like I just did the coolest thing in the world when I showed them this. But as you guys can see, our brains can trick us. And obviously, I'm not maybe the best at demonstrating great ideas for this example. But the reality is, this whole series, this kind of 6-part series that we're starting the year off, it's really based upon this big picture idea that the way that we perceive things, guys, can often vary wrongly from the reality of what they actually are. You guys get that? So there's going to be 2 major themes. We're going to put these up on the screen here. These are the 2 big themes for today. And the first being, how do we perceive God's Word, and how does this differ from the reality of what God's Word, the Bible, is actually saying, right? So we're going to focus on that today. And then secondly, how do we perceive or understand life, life in general, through the eyes of the world versus the reality of what God's word says is true? So that's going to be the majority of the coming series that we're going to look at. Do you guys kind of get those two big main concepts? Yes? No? Okay, you get it? All right. So what we're going to do, guys, is before we jump any further into this, I just want to bow our heads. We're going to pray, and then we'll kind of get into this series and give you guys kind of the layout for what's going to be ahead. And really, again, today, focusing specifically on God's word. So if you would join me, we're going to bow our heads here and before we go any further and jump into prayer. Father God, we thank you, Lord. We are so excited to start this new year out, but we want to start it in a way, Lord, that honors you. We want to start it in a way that puts you first, Lord. I think a lot of times, I know myself, Lord, and many of us here, we get distracted by the world and just the craziness of life. And just for the next 30 minutes or so, just help us to hear your word clearly, Lord. May my words be your words, Lord. May you speak through me and that this would just glorify you. Just pray for your Holy Spirit's presence here this morning. Just pray for anyone new joining us, Lord, that this would be a word of encouragement. We just love you, Father, so much. We give this time to you. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. So guys, talking about this idea, again, these two major themes. The first, again, how do we perceive God's word and how does that differ from the reality of his word? And then the second being, what does the world tell us that's true or reality, right, our perception, versus what does God's word actually say is true? Well, today's message, we're just going to, again, be focusing really on that particular first line, God's word. That's the Bible, right? And you guys, you know, it's not surprising to hear that in church, but we actually don't talk about the Bible a lot. We talk about scripture, but the Bible as a whole is an entirely different thing. When we look at this, it's not just one scripture. It's literally God's breathed word, right? So we get to spend a little bit of time today just kind of looking at this in who God is in his word. How do we really understand and begin to interpret scripture correctly? That's a really important thing. And furthermore, guys, how do we apply God's word to our life, which in turn, I hope is going to result in a deepening of all of our relationships with God. Does that sound good? Sound good? Okay, that's kind of an overview. Well, one of the greatest challenges I think that we face here in this church, and again, this message today is not meant to make you feel bad. Just want to say that up front. But I think one of the greatest challenges that we face in the church today is that we claim to be Christians. We want to follow God's word. We want to represent Jesus in that. But the sad reality is that a lot of us, myself included for many years, we don't really even read God's word, right? If we're honest, there's some brutal church honesty here. There's kind of some sad statistics. This is an awesome way to start the new year. Let's look at the bad news, okay? So here's some statistics. We're going to put this up on the screen. These are just like, these were the bad part. These were the best statistics I could find, like the most positive statistics. There were some that were way worse than this. But this was actually from a recent study that came from a company called Lifeway Research, and they do a lot of Christian studies that look specifically at people who attend church. So this study was really focused on a group of people, you guys, who regularly attend church. And the first thing it says, only 45% of those who regularly attend church read their Bible more than once a week. So I read that and I was like, what? That's crazy. Number two, over 40% of people, though, attending read their Bible occasionally, maybe once or twice a month, right? And number three is one in five churchgoers, that's basically 20%, say they never read their Bible, right? So I read these and I was like, wow, that can't be right. But then I started looking more and it was actually worse, the other statistics. So this, again, was focusing on people who attend church. You got to think about Christians as a whole, how many of us are actually reading God's word. So I think, first of all, as a group, guys, we've got to be honest to address the fact that many of us are only occasionally reading God's word, and that often of us, many of us are not reading it at all. So why is God's word important? Let's just kind of start with that. We'll go to the next slide here. I think this is really important that we get to the why, because the motivation for reading God's word, has got to come from somewhere, right? So this is a scripture that I think really gives context to why. And in this, there's this disciple, Timothy, and he's a disciple of the Apostle Paul. So Paul is one of the main guys who wrote the majority of the New Testament. He's writing to his secondhand man, Timothy, here. And he says in chapter 3, verse 14, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of. He's talking about God's word, the scriptures. Because you know those from whom you learned it, i.e. Paul, and how from infancy you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus, right? So he's saying right here, Paul, he's saying that the holy scriptures, guys, they make us wise for salvation, right? Understanding that salvation comes through Christ Jesus. Verse 16 picks up. He says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, right? Which is like a stern warning, correcting and training in righteousness so that the servant of God, i.e. you guys, myself, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So right here, Paul really describes it. He says, man, scripture is useful for lots of different things, but when you really get to the end of it, it's critical because it's literally how God equips us to do his work. So imagine you're a soldier. I love giving soldier analogies. I don't know why, but they have lots of cool gear and equipment. I think that's a big part of it. Imagine you're a soldier, right? And you go out into battle and you don't have your body armor. You don't have your gun. You don't have your helmet. You don't have your night vision, right? Are you equipped to do your job? No, you're not. You're pretty much up a creek without a paddle, right? You're going to be in trouble. So the reality is that if we are to live in this world, that's a fallen world, as disciples of Jesus, man, our equipment comes from God's word. His word is our equipment, right? We are to put it on daily. You wouldn't go out into the battlefield and be like, yeah, I don't really feel like wearing my body armor today. Nah, it's just a Tuesday, so I'm not going to worry about it. You would put it on every single day, right? So you guys get what I'm saying. So looking at this a little bit more just blatantly here, why is God's word important? We'll go to the next slide. It's a little bit simpler to put it this way. As disciples, meaning as those of us who want to follow Jesus, God's word's how we grow, it's how we learn, and it's how we develop in our relationship with God. Scripture, guys, again, it clearly tells us that it's for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, making us more like Jesus. And we need to know it, again, just trying to beat this home, right? That we have to have it in our minds, in our hearts, and our souls to be equipped for God's work. If we don't know it, man, we're like a soldier left out on the battlefield with no equipment, no armor, no gun. We are left wide open for the enemy, right? So you guys understand there's this inherent importance. Now, here's some of my own church honesty. About 2.5-3 years ago, I started coming to a place of real frustration with God's word. I was only reading it maybe once or twice a week if I was lucky, and that's probably on a good week. And I kind of found that my own relationship with God at the time, it really wasn't growing. I was bored. Like, if I'm really honest, I was bored with God's word. I would read it and I just, ugh. And I was always kind of coming up with excuses why I didn't have time to read it. I'd be like, well, the dogs need to be fed, so that's more important. I'm going to set my alarm tomorrow morning and wake up early so I can get up and read my Bible. And then my alarm would go off and I'd be like, snooze, 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 right? My favorite one is that I would get to the end of the day and I'd be like, oh, I feel so obligated. Just need to read God's word. Okay, so open up my Bible. I'd sit there and read maybe 5 minutes later, and I'd be like, I don't even know what I just read. Like, literally in here, but not processing. Anybody relate to this? Okay, so it's not just me. I'm not the only one who stinks at reading their Bible, right? So it's familiar, I think, to all of us. Well, about that same time, about 2 years ago or so, I started attending what's called Pit Group. And this is Pastors in Training Group. And a guy named Mike Chong Perkinson up in Big Fork, who's come and taught a couple times, he's the head pastor of Crossroads Church. He kind of took me under his wing, and we started getting into this pastors and training group. And through this group, one of the very first things you do is you learn, number one, what is your identity in Christ? Who are you in Jesus? And then number two, we start going through this process of really learning God's word. So not just reading it, but actually studying it, taking time to learn how to digest it and process it, and then really looking at how do we apply the Bible to our lives in true text form. And really what I learned through this process, and it's still an ongoing process for me, is that at that time, I was not only just not reading God's word regularly, but when I was reading it, I was often taking the scripture and molding the scripture to fit me. I was molding it to what was going on in my life versus allowing the scripture to mold me. You guys get it? I was trying to take the scripture, twist it so it fit me, versus allowing the scripture to really transform me, to change me. And what I really realized was not only was I missing out on the intimacy with God that can come from reading his word regularly, but I was also missing the point of his word oftentimes because my perception, the way that I was reading his word, was often wrong from the reality of what it was actually saying, right? So this was like shocking to me because I had, quote, read the Bible for 20 years, and I was like, what do you mean I'm reading it wrong, right? I was like so disappointed. I was like, so is that 20 years of just, like nothing? So I started reading this more, and I just want to give you guys a little example of this, not to beat you up, but kind of with this idea that we often, again, take the scripture and we mold that scripture to fit us versus allowing the scripture to mold us. So I want to go to this next slide here, one after this, Jeremiah 29:11. So I want to give you guys an example of this, like an example text so you can kind of understand what I'm saying on how we oftentimes will misread what's really being said. So this is a great scripture. Many of you guys probably know this. This is one of the first scriptures I've memorized. This is from Jeremiah, who is a prophet, and this is chapter 29, verse 11. Jeremiah writes, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." Right? Anybody like that scripture? I love that scripture, right? So I read that scripture, and like, I think my mom gave it to me when I was 18 going out to college or leaving for school, and I was like, man, that's awesome. Like, God has plans for good for me. That was a build-me-up scripture, right? So out of context here, that really clearly, out of context, right? This verse, guys, is typically given to someone during like a difficult time as a sentiment. It can be given on like a graduation card. You've probably seen it on those before. Like somebody just crossed the stage, they got their diploma, and you give them this card that has this on it. And as a stand-alone promise, right, it appears as though God here in this scripture, right, that he exists to make us all popular, to make us rich, to make us healthy, to make us powerfully well-known, that God declares the American dream over our lives, right? Like, who doesn't want that, right? That's what I want this scripture to say. That's what I have thought this scripture said for a very, very, very long time. Now, I was a little disheartened to find out that's not actually what the scripture is saying, but the reality is it's still incredible. So in context now, so like literally how this is written in the chapter and from the author and to the audience that it's written to, in context, this is an incredible promise, guys, that is not given to an individual. It's actually given to a people group. It was given to the group of Hebrews that were exiled in Babylon. They were actually Jewish slaves, basically. And God had promised this group that he had not given up on his people. And even though things looked pretty dire, they looked really bad, that there was still a future and a hope. So the word prosper, which oftentimes is interchanged in this scripture, that word, it doesn't refer to money or like material things. It's not saying God's going to give you the blessing of riches or material things. What it refers to is a physical and spiritual salvation. This is really a beautiful promise that God is not done with his people and that their future and their hope were only found in him. The promise is that he will see his plans through and his people will get to be a part of them. So you guys see how that changes the scripture entirely, right? And I hope that wasn't like a wah-wah for any of you. But the reality is, when we read scripture, we oftentimes perceive it how we think it should read versus what the author originally intended for it to say, right? Very, very important, guys. This is critical. If we're to be disciples of the word, we need to understand who is saying it, why are they saying it, and who are they saying it to. Now, I think there's something here I wanted to say, that we often, again, will interject ourselves, right? We'll put ourselves into the scripture, and what's happening currently in our lives, we'll kind of apply that into the text. And a lot of times, we'll interpret it through what I call the lens of self, right? So the lens of self being the way that life is going around you right now interprets the way that you see things in front of you. Anybody agree? Things are going bad, you see things maybe with, you know, kind of a dark gray lens. Things are going good, maybe you see life through a rosy, happy lens, right? So our situations sometimes influences the way we see things. So as we interject ourself, we begin to sometimes view the scripture in that same manner. So there's two ways that we can avoid this, or two things I just want to bring up. Number one, right, perception versus reality, some take-home truths here. We have to spend time in God's word. Why do we have to spend time in his word? If we don't spend time in his word, how are we going to know it, right? Like, if we don't know it, then when we do read it, maybe we're not reading it how it was supposed to be said. Number two, guys, the way that we perceive the text, and again, I know I'm sounding like I'm beating a dead horse, but the way that we perceive the text versus the reality of what God is saying through the text are often different, right? So again, a simple way of asking this, are we molding the text to fit us, or are we allowing the text to transform us, right? Are we allowing the text to transform us is the thing I want you to take home from this. Now, I just want to stop right here for a second and say that there is nothing wrong. There is absolutely nothing wrong when something is going on in your life, some hardship or difficulty or trial or whatever, of going to God's word and specifically looking for guidance regarding what you're going through. So that's not what I'm saying to avoid doing. We're called to do that, meaning we're supposed to go to God's word and look for guidance in it. But what I am saying, okay, is that when we take scripture out of context so it better suits me or it better fits what I'm going through, or maybe we choose to just read only this much of it and really not believe the other parts of it, ignoring others, that's wrong, right? That's not the way that God wrote the scriptures for us to hear. And if I'm honest, guys, that's, again, what I have done for most of the last 20 years. I'm more than 20 years old, too, so I just want you to know that. So I know it don't look like it. All right. So as we read God's word, guys, we have to take time to truly study it. And then what I was doing was, in my past, I would read God's word, I'd read some small bit of scripture, and then I would kind of put my own coloring on it so it would fit my life. Anybody else believe that they've done that before? Like, just church honesty? Yep. Okay, 50% of us have. The rest of you got it all figured out. So don't even need to be here, apparently. So all right. So guys, again, I don't think I started off as a child reading God's word or hearing God's word with this intentional malignancy of trying to interpret it wrongly, right? But when I actually began to study God's word, which is recent, in the last 2 years, not just read it, but truly digest it, break it down, look at the author, look at the audience, look at the setting, look at all these different things, the time frame and even the cultural context, all of these things kind of suddenly came to light. And it was like God's word was open to me in a completely new way. So what I'm telling you is, if you're here today and you're like, you know what, Mike, I want to read God's word, but I'm so bored when I read it, a lot of that is because we're not understanding what's actually happening in it, right? So when we start to take some time and not just read it, but study it, it's like God just put this light bulb on in my head, and it was like a whole new world of scripture opened up. And I want that for every one of you. I think we all need to have that desire to read God's word, but not just to read it, but to really learn it. So guys, here's the thing. As we read God's word and we actually begin to know it, the cool part is it will start to imprint on our souls. And what do I mean by that? As we read it, it's going to be something that will start to impact the way we actually live, right? So that's really the difference between just reading it and really reading it, okay? So you guys get what I'm saying here. I know there's a bit of redundancy. Now, perception in the world, if we go to this next slide, perception in the world is that God's word is dead. It's 2,000 plus years old. It doesn't apply to my life today. It's not pertinent in reality, all these different things. What I would argue, though, is that the reality of God's word is that it's alive, number one, amen. Yeah, it should be some amens. Number two, it's as relevant today as it was 2,000 plus years ago. Number three, the truths that are found in it, guys, they're intentionally given to us. God didn't write this book just like, well, I'll just throw a couple books together and here you go, okay? Instructions for life. No, this is literally God's word that's being written intentionally to us. Number four, his word is to teach us how to live our lives like Jesus did. And number five, it's to develop that intimate relationship with God. I don't know about any of you, but I don't come to church on Sundays or try to live my life during the week with the intention of being like, you know, I really just hope I have a mediocre walk with God. I feel like I know him just, I'm kind of at the point where I know him just too well. I don't really want to get any closer to him. I just feel like, you know, he speaks to me too often. We're just so intimate. I'm just tired of him. Like, nobody says that, right? Nobody's here in church. I hope you're not. If you are, you need to be up here, not me. Okay? Nobody is here, though, being like, man, I got God figured out. I got this scripture thing down. I've got all the Bible memorized. I understand the context of it, the application. Nobody's here, okay? So the reality is, here's your 2020 challenge. We'll put up the next slide. It's to start learning, guys. This is the challenge that I give to you guys as well as myself, is to start 2020 off by this process of learning how to not just read our Bibles, right? I'm tired of just reading my Bible. I want to start to learn how to digest it, how to interpret it, and how to apply it, so that way we can in turn grow in our relationship with God. And in following that, living out Jesus's teachings. That's the point of all of this. And what we're going to do, guys, is as we go through this series, we're going to actually take the next weekend's scripture, the teaching scripture, and I'm going to give it to you guys ahead of time. And the purpose of doing this is that you can go home, you can actually take it, you can read it, read the whole chapter with it, you can maybe try to interpret it, spend some time meditating on it, digest it, think about how you're going to apply it. And my hope is that by doing this over the next 6 to 8 weeks, that you guys come and you'll actually be able to learn so much more as we take a step back and examine what God's word is truly saying. Does that sound good? Sound good. Okay. So I want God's truth, not my own interpretation of it. Anybody else there? Amen? All right. So for the remainder of today, guys, I have a couple things that I want to share with you that I'm hoping that you can take home and apply in the coming weeks to the take-home scriptures that I'm going to send you with, but also just to reading your Bible in general, okay? And again, we kind of come back to this idea, and you guys will see, I gave you a handout here, and this is from Pastor Mike Ferguson. You guys can pull this out. This kind of gives a little bit more detail about to what I'm to say. This is for you to take home. Stick this in your Bible and go back to it as a reference. And really what this is just a very simple breakdown of some tactical ways that we can apply and approach God's word. So the first thing, guys, in this handout is talking about really this idea of how do we, again, get benefit from reading the Bible. So I think about this, like, how does reading the Bible benefit me? Not just why do we read it, but how does it actually give me some kind of a good take-home benefit? Number one, when you guys read the Bible, you will please God, right? So if that's like our sole purpose is to please God, we should probably be doing it. Number two, you will learn how to live and grow as a Christian. Number three, you will develop spiritual discernment, the ability to tell, like, man, is this really what God's saying or not? Number four, you'll be able to provide answers to others' questions. I think this is one of my greatest fears as a Christian. Like, somebody's going to ask me a question and I'm not going to know how to respond to them, right? Anybody else? Okay, maybe it's not just me. We got to read the Bible to get those things, guys. Last thing, your relationship with God will again deepen and become stronger. I hope you guys understand that at this point because I've said it like 10 times, okay? So how do we then read, learn, and apply God's word? There's a couple things in your handout here that I'm just going to highlight. And these are kind of the easy take-home things that we can actually go home and start doing, like literally today. The first thing is to study. And what I mean by this is when we study God's word, it's not just reading it. And I'm not knocking just reading God's word. Meaning if you got a couple minutes, you just want to read through God's word, great. I'm not saying he can't use that. But there's a difference between going back, rereading the same verses multiple times in a row, and what you will get out of that will be, I promise you, tremendously different than if you just skim it once. What I started doing is I'll take like either a paragraph or a chapter of scripture, and literally every day for about a week, I'll go back and I'll read it, maybe just in addition to my regular reading. And when you go back and you read it, it's like different things begin to pop out at you that you never noticed before, and it is such a fruitful way to do it. Now, maybe you're here and you're like, my God, I don't have time. I don't have time. I'm so busy. If you asked every single person in this room how have they been doing, what would they respond? I'm busy, right? Okay, we're all busy. I get it. I'm busy. You're busy. The world's busy. But the reality is we make time for what we make time for, okay? If I make time to get up in the morning and go to CrossFit for an hour, yet I can't give God 10 or 15 minutes, it's pretty hypocritical, right? Like, who am I to do that? We make time for what we make time for. I'm not here to beat you up. I'm just saying that's the reality. So start by setting aside a small amount of time to maybe read and then reflect and maybe start with 10 minutes a day, right? If you're like, I can't do 10 minutes, do 5 minutes. I don't care. 10 minutes, I think, is probably doable, maybe 15 minutes at most, but start with that, right? So if you're here today and you're like, man, I'm not reading my Bible. I've never read my Bible. I don't even have a Bible. We'll give you one, number one. Number two, start with a small chunk, 5, 10 minutes. The second thing, we'll go to the next slide. Meditate, guys. So meditate, and I'm not talking about like, okay, not that kind of meditation. I'm talking about meditate, thinking deeply about God's word. Like really taking some time to really think about this. And if you're like, oh, I don't know what meditate means, I can't do that. Well, I'm gonna give you a very simple acronym that you can follow that's called READ. That's an easy way to meditate. So READ stands for reflecting on what God is teaching you, right? So maybe just ask yourself that question, like, what are you learning about God, yourself, and the world in this text? Number two, evaluate, E. Am I surrendering to God in this, what I'm reading? Am I becoming more like Jesus in what I'm reading? How am I loving God? Like, you can just ask yourself some of these questions. A is adjust, like, what can I change or do different in my life? Maybe what are my next steps? Or even the question of, who do I want to please? I've been asking myself that question a lot. Like, am I here to please man or am I here to please God, right? And D is, what is God doing in you? So when you read this scripture, are there some kind of like dreams or something that he seems to be forming in you? Just take that time and meditate on it. We'll go to the next slide here. Two more things, right? I promise I'll quit picking on you. The third thing is to memorize, to be able to recall God's word is crucial. Psalm 119:11 says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. If we don't know God's word, man, that's pretty hard for us to actually apply it to our lives and to live it out, right? I'm not saying you have to memorize every single day, but maybe take one scripture a week or even one scripture a month, right? And just try to learn to memorize that. Put it in your car, put it somewhere you'll see it in your mirror when you brush your teeth every day. I promise it'll begin to stick. The fourth thing, which I think is actually really powerful, and this is something I've literally just started doing myself recently, is journaling. Journaling, like as you go through the above, write down your thoughts, okay? So this in total, at the most, okay, at the very most, 10 to 15 minutes, maybe take 3 to 5 minutes, read a small paragraph or a small chapter of scripture or even just a verse, and then take the next 3 to 5 minutes, guys, meditate on it. Think about it, maybe really spend some time asking yourself those questions, and then take that last 3 to 5 minutes to journal or memorize, to take it and say, okay, I'm going to put down on paper, this is what the scripture is saying to me right now, right? These are some great ways that we can actually start to learn it. So the intention here isn't to beat you guys up and say, hey, you suck at reading your Bible. That's not what I'm here to say today, because I'm right in that category too. And I know some of you may be sitting here like, oh man, I feel so convicted. The reality is I'm not here to say that any of us are perfect, because we're sure not, okay? And I'm definitely not. But all of us, as a starting place, this is somewhere where we can begin to really work and read our Bibles to become closer to God. And if you're here today and you need a Bible, we've got one for you. I'd love to give you one after church. And maybe you're here today and you're already reading your Bible regularly and you're studying it. That's great. That's awesome. And I want to encourage you to do that. But maybe go through this handout and see if there's anything you can add to your Bible study. And then the last thing, guys, that I want to encourage you, I'm going to invite the band to come up now. But the last thing, guys, that I want to encourage you with is to get into a small group, right? If you're in a, how many of you are in a small group? Just really curious. Raise your hand up high. Okay, so there's some in a small group. If you're not in a small group, guys, this is one of the best ways that we can learn and encourage each other with God's word, meaning we learn better together. That's really true. And to examine scripture with one another is one of the best ways that we not only can memorize it and learn it and put it in our hearts, but it's a great way that we can be accountable to each other. So here's your homework, guys, for next week. You can write this down. We'll put this up on the app too. But Philippians 4:19, so literally write this down right now if you need to, or take a picture with your phone. Philippians 4:19 reads, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." And then Matthew 6:26 is the next scripture. And this says, "Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" So these two scriptures, guys, next week are going to be what we're going to be teaching on. What I want you to do, go home, read both of these chapters, look at it, take some time to meditate on it, study it, journal, and then come back next weekend ready to kind of discuss and have these thoughts in your heads. Does that sound good? Sound good? All right. Amen. All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and bow our heads in prayer, guys. Then we're going to stand and worship, and then we're going to close with communion after that, okay? All right. God, we thank you so much for your word. we don't understand it always, Lord, and we're definitely not perfect at studying it. We just ask that wherever we are in our walk with you, Father, that you would just take this morning and this time as a moment of encouragement to know that we don't have to know it, but that you are there to guide us in it, Lord. For those of us who are struggling with reading your word, and for those of us who've been faithful in reading it for years, Lord, I just ask that you would rekindle a fire within each of us, a passion to actually understand what your word is saying, to learn it, to store it in our hearts, and to actually apply it to our lives, Lord, so we could love people better and represent your son, Jesus. We thank you, Father, for this time. We thank you for the opportunity to come into your house and worship you, Lord. I pray a special blessing over all of those here and those who couldn't be here this morning for 2020 to be the best year yet, Lord, where we grow more than anything in our relationship with you. We praise you, Father. We thank you again for this morning. In your son's name we pray. Amen. All right, church, let's go ahead and we'll stand and we'll close in worship.